If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pants Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. And I'm starting this show like I start them all by saying thank you. Thank you for supporting this show. Thank you for supporting the Patreon, the Crab Feast, and thank you for supporting the new pod, The Way Back. You guys loved it, got off to a great start. I'm very excited for it. Look, you got to help out the pod all the free ways. Subscribe, rate, review, all that stuff. Do it on Apple. Do it on Spotify. Do it wherever you can. Okay. And there's a separate audio feed for this. If you're a person that just likes to listen, hey, go subscribe to that audio feed. All of this stuff is free for you and it helps the pod. Now, if you missed last week's episode with Tom Segura, there's going to be a 5-minute preview at the end of this episode. So watch all the way through the end. There'll be a 5-minute preview of the Tom Segura episode. And then the episode coming up this week, we take Mark Norman on The Way Back, all right? So that's the deal with the new pod. It's called The Way Back. Every Thursday right here on my YouTube channel, you're getting The Honeydew. You're getting The Honeydew with y'all. You're getting The Way Back, and you're getting The Feast, all right? And if you don't know about The Honeydew with y'all, you got to subscribe, all right? You're getting The Honeydew a day early, ad-free, and The Way Back a day early, ad-free, at no additional cost, all right? So head over there. It's the best stories you're going to hear on, hell, anywhere, TV, online, all of it. It's your stories, and it's absolutely awesome. Please keep supporting my special Lefty Son. We're not even a year in on that thing yet, and we're coming up on a million. That's my goal, all right? And if you haven't seen me on the road and you're in town when I'm around, come see me. All tickets for my tour are available at RyanSickler.com. Now, that's the biz. You guys know what we're doing over here. We're highlighting the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. I am very excited to have this guest on, ladies and gentlemen. First time here on The Honeydew. Please welcome Patrick Renna. Welcome to The Honeydew.
Thank you. Thank you.
I was stoked to get you on here, bro.
I was stoked to do it. Thanks for having me.
It's very kind of you to do this.
Before I love that highlight the lowlights. It's brilliant.
Thank you.
It's an elevator pitch. You get it right when you say it. Like, you're like, oh, I get this. It's great.
You fucking know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I started
about.
Crying immediately.
When I was in college in the mid-1990s, the late 1900s, I will never forget studying film. And one of the things was about pitching and just get to an elevator. You got 30 fucking seconds, get it done.
Yeah.
And I remember the pitch for Alien, the very first 1970s Alien.
Yeah.
They said it's Jaws in space. And yes. It was done.
Yeah.
Done. And I was like, oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Jaws in space. Yeah. What? Of course.
I'm in. Yeah.
We're in. So yeah, highlighting the low lights is exactly what it is. Great. I'm tired of everybody's ESPN top 10 highlight Instagram bullshit. Here's how great my life is. Let's really see what's going on. So before we do, please plug, promote everything and anything you would like.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about it. You know, all my socials are Patrick Renna. So you can check that out. I'm diving into socials a lot more, starting a YouTube channel. I have a apparel line now, Hambino Athletics. So it's hambinoathletics.com. And then I'm going to start a podcast myself soon. Probably, I guess you could say a fatherhood. I need to work on my elevator pitch. I don't even know it yet. So, but it's a fatherhood centric podcast and just, you know, or, you know, any parenthood type thing. So we'll have guests on and talk about it. And then even if they don't have kids, we'll talk about how they don't have kids and that sort of angle of life and just have a good time doing it. So.
Great.
I'm going to snap some pictures of your studio because it's fucking great.
Thank you.
And dude. I want to
take some video.
You don't mind. Okay, good.
I don't mind at all.
Okay, good.
Well, first of all, I want to get to know you because I think like most of us all, you're an icon. You're a childhood legend.
Yeah.
You're in one of the most famous movies of all time. It's quoted everywhere. I'm sure there are a gazillion fucking memes out there as well, right?
Yeah.
But I want to talk to you because I don't know you. And I would love to know, first of all, where you're from originally. And what childhood was like for you before all that? Cause just real quick, were you 13 in that movie?
Yeah, I was, I was 13 when I filmed it, 14 when it came out. So
let's talk about life before that then. Start there, please.
Yeah, I'm from Boston.
Okay.
I was born and raised there. I left when I was 12. And I think that's,
you left with mom, dad,
by
both?
Myself.
I said,
no, just kidding.
I was going to be like, you're not one of those Britney Spears kids.
No.
They just shipped your ass.
Yeah, they said, get the hell out of here. I left with my mom. My mom and dad split when I was 11, and I was in. I went to boarding school for a few years, and I always, you know, I always appreciate.
What's that like?
Well, at a young age, it was wild.
And is that a sleepover thing for you? It is.
So,
okay, you're going away.
And you do your own laundry and, you know.
And how old are you?
I had my 11th and 12th birthday doing it. So.
And why?
Well, I think that my parents sent me away because they were getting a divorce. And, my memory of it is not this like horrible, messy divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of always appreciated that.
Is it just you? No siblings?
It's just me. Okay. Yeah. And I remember my mom telling me, because the boarding school was in Oregon on like a mountaintop overlooking this like beautiful valley. She told me they were getting divorced and it wrecked me. I was like, you know.
That's where she told you?
Yeah, but I think she wanted me to have space. And
sure.
And I had a rough time with it. But I always appreciated that they sent me away for that because they're really good friends now. They'll stay at each other's homes.
Oh, okay.
They're both remarried. Their husband and wife are, they'll go to dinner, the four of them. And that always meant a lot to me because I have friends whose parents want to rip each other's jugulars out still to this day, 40 years later.
Right.
And you're like, wow, you share kids. How can you?
Carrying that poison and that toxic fucking behavior.
It's rough to see.
I think that kills you in
the
long
run.
It
does. Yeah. And it meant a lot to me that I didn't experience any of that negative.
What did your parents do for a living?
They were business partners in, I don't even know what it was. It was some sort of it was before computers. So whatever, you know, some sort of technology company before computers. So typewriters, I don't know. they did something, you know, it was that kind of world, and they owned it with this other guy. And so that's what they did.
And so then they're splitting. You go to this boarding school where?
Oregon.
Okay, that's where it was in Oregon.
So
okay.
I was kind of back and forth between Oregon and Boston.
And at that boarding school, you're learning basically to take care of yourself?
Yeah,
is that what they're
which
teaching?
Which is wild. Like, so
I was
going to
say, I want, when you said the age, I'm like, all right, my daughter's 9. I want to hear what they got you doing at 11. Laundry, you're doing
you're
laundry.
You're doing laundry. They have I don't know what they call it now, like a personal teacher is what they called it, which is essentially like a, not a guardian, but just one of the teachers is assigned to, every kid is assigned to a teacher outside of class. So they like sort of just make sure you're doing okay.
And, a bit of a chaperone.
Yeah. Type and so thing. I used to steal laundry tokens from her. It was great. But she was, I know, she was awesome and to help me. Also, my parents would come out and visit a lot. I would go home. I wasn't there in the summer. So it wasn't.
So while they're figuring their shit out to split amicably and there's a business involved as well, you're over here also learning responsibility and how to take care of yourself.
Yeah. And I they never really confirmed that that's why they sent me, but I think it is like, you know.
But then you come back.
Well, so the only negative is it was all you could eat buffet.
Are you being serious?
I'm being dead serious, my friend. From 0 to 11, I was a skinny kid. I'm not kidding. Now, my dad.
Is that true?
It's true. My dad, when he was a kid, was a fatty, just like me. So I obviously have it in me to, you know, get big. But I put on some pounds.
You ate those feelings, I ate the fuck out of those feelings.
And I remember my mom seeing me, picking me up, and like, oh, you're done there. You're done. So she pulled me to L.A. She knew I wanted to be.
Is that right?
It's true. It's true. She knew I wanted to be an actor, too. So it was probably a you know, double thing. But if you so I moved to L.A. and, you know.
With mom?
With mom. And she had a job opportunity out here. At like an investment firm or something.
All right, so mom's going Boston to Oregon to scoop you up.
Yeah. And then
get the fuck out of there. And we're in LA at what, like 13, before you're about to start high school?
Yeah. So I just before 91, I landed in LA, 12.
12. Okay. And now where's dad? He stays in Boston.
Dad's in Boston.
All right. But still good relationship.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great relationship. They both, you know, meet significant others a year or two after they divorce. So like they're kind of, it's funny, their paths outside of divorce are very similar. And it's funny, you know, they both got married around the same time to, you know, younger. They both went younger. Good for them. You know what I mean? Okay. Yep. They both went about 10 years younger and, they've been with them ever since. So,
okay.
Yeah. So it was, I'm in LA. I'm, you know, I start dieting for one and then, you know, start acting.
You knew you wanted to be an actor that young, huh?
I did.
You knew it.
I did school plays in Boston and I did some modeling.
What turned you onto that? Your parents were in like the professional world. So where are you
getting
this? I know.
I don't know. I try and think about that. I think I just had that personality and I never really was forced to do it. You know, I didn't, my mom didn't go on sets with me. We would hire people. She refused to be a stage mom, which is really funny because I saw this documentary later for Free Willy. So this is, my first audition was Sandlot and I booked it. But right before that, isn't that crazy?
It's a lot. That's a Mega Millions lottery.
Yeah. My first audition was Salute Your Shorts, which was this TV show back in the day. I booked it. My second audition was Sandlot. I booked it. So I'm like 2 for 2, which I feel like this, I'm setting up what this podcast is about because I had this great beginning, you know?
Yeah.
Then I meet Pauly Shore and
real
I audition.
Quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You still get residual checks. I'm not asking how much, but still something comes in the mail, does it not?
Yeah, we do for Sandlot, but it's not as much as you think. Like
I don't even know what I think it would be anymore. Yeah, I mean, how old is it now?
30
30
years.
Right?
Yeah.
God.
But it's still, I mean,
it's older
was,
than Kirsten.
It was top 25 the other day on iTunes.
That's what I'm saying.
And I was a little, I was with some of the other guys and was like, Jesus, how is this movie still
once in a while just
popping up?
Because it's one of those generational fucking things. It just goes like a Wizard of Oz. It really is.
It was crazy.
I'm like, sorry. Go ahead. No, Pauly Shore. You
said. Oh, yeah. I'm just saying. So I finished Sandlot. I think my next audition, I think, was for Pauly Shore and I booked it. I know I was 2 for 2. Maybe I had a few in there.
What was the Pauly Shore movie?
Son-in-Law.
Oh, you were in Son-in-Law.
Yeah, great. I was a little kid in that. So I had a lot of success in the beginning. But I was saying the funny thing was because I was saying my mom wasn't a stage mom. So I did do this cattle call for Free Willy right when I got to L.A. It wasn't an audition, but they just had thousands of kids in lines. And you would just walk up to this table and they would say – they'd ask you like 5 questions. And if you answered right, you'd go on to the next stage. It was – really weird and honestly a little sick. Like, it's just.
Do you remember any of the questions?
Asked? So one of the things is, what sports do you like? And I forget what I said. I think I said basketball, and I had such an attitude. I remember having an attitude, which I'm like, why? But then they said, do you like swimming? And I said, no, I like math. And and then they sent me away. Yeah. I that was done. But later, years later, I see this documentary and it's about stage moms and they have this found footage of Free Willy cattle call.
Nah.
And my mother is standing there in the line.
You're in it.
My mom is in this stage mom thing with her arms crossed looking pissed. But this is my Bostonian mom who's like, I don't have time for this shit. Like, get me out of here. And it's just funny that she's in that because she couldn't be farther from a stage mom. Because she just didn't want to do it, you know, and that world.
When did you see that? Did you tell her like, hey, mom, you're not going to believe
this
shit?
She was so pissed. She was like, that's it. She did not like it. She didn't like it. Her name's also Karen. So this whole Karen thing, she's all pissed out. Like, she's just
already.
Yeah, she is pissed. She's from Boston and just, you know, through just full Bostonian. Anyway, so that I think my parents did it right, I think, as far as I can tell. You know, I like to think I have a good head on my shoulders, but just all those traps, all those, you know, for young Hollywood, for actors in Hollywood that people get into, they sort of help me avoid.
Yeah, that's what you hear all the time. The young kids are getting introduced to drugs early.
Right.
Or you hear about the molestation and all the stuff that's going on. These adults are even ignoring these kids, you know?
Yeah.
So you would have basically like a chaperone that was hired to make sure that you were like – what about schoolwork? Like, how's that happening?
So Sandlot, we didn't have any school. It was summer.
Summer.
And my stepdad actually came with me on Sandlot.
Okay.
He's a photographer too, so he has these really cool old photos that
– Oh, hell yeah. Sandlot, they let him shoot behind the scenes back, and all.
Yeah, like you could never do that now. But this was 1992, and they were like, sure, come on in. And he was like a set photographer for free, and we have all this great stuff.
It's hell yeah.
So school was fine there. As I got older and did other movies during, you know, the actual school season, I would do school on set, which, you know, school on set, at least in the 90s, was a joke. I mean, I remember I played chess with my set teacher on Son-in-Law, like, you know, and he was a great guy. Don't get me wrong. Like, we had fun, but like they're trying to learn a curriculum that you're getting somewhere else and figure out how to do this for it's impossible. You know, you can't keep up. So that's a little bit of a difficult thing, I think, for young actors is schooling and keeping up. And
I imagine too that like Sandlot, for instance, is a bunch of guys your age. That's probably a fun fucking time.
Oh,
But then you have Son-in-Law.
Yeah.
And they're mostly adults in that film. So are you starting to miss your friends? Are you starting to feel isolated? Like, hey, I'm not getting to hang around kids my age because you're working so much. And what kind of schedule are you working? You know, are you there for a week at a time or?
You know, I think.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine.
So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Luckily, I came onto the scene, I think, after probably a lot of tragedy in Hollywood, because like Coogan, the Coogan account is based on Coogan. I don't even know his first name, but a kid back in the day that had all his money stolen from his parents.
Yeah, shit so, like that you hear about that's all right. the time.
So I came in right after stuff like that. So they luckily.
So there were some things in place some to things protect in place, you yeah. and things like, okay.
You only work 8 hours a day. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know. I guess I just, when I moved to Hollywood, I met with Judy Savage, who is the child agent of the 90s. She was the biggest thing. Wonderful woman. She's obviously since passed. She was older then. But she said to me, she set expectations when she met with kids. She went, don't expect to work for 2 years. And so I went, okay. And then I immediately was on 20th Century Fox and then Disney and like working with all these stars. And so I guess I just sort of counted my blessings and went, wow, like I felt like I struck gold because I didn't have these bad experiences. Son-in-Law was great for me. I mean, Tiffany Amber Thiessen was on it, and I think I was in love with her my whole childhood.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
And like, you know, she was so fun. Pauly Shore, big brother to me. Carla Gugino, like a big sister to me. She was on it. Cindy Pickett was my mom, and she was incredible. Lance Smith was the dad. These are just like, these guys have been doing this forever. So, and I was the only kid, so they loved me and they kind of like took me under their wing. So, I had a good experience on that. I think after Son-in-Law, I did The Big Green, which was another Disney movie, and it was kids over the summer again. We had a great time. But that's where I started, you know, I was 15 now. Mm-hmm. You start getting interested in girls, you know. It's not just dudes on a baseball field anymore. And there were some female stars in that movie that were beautiful. And you're like, you're starting to hit puberty. Like this, it's kind of a weird time, you know. So that experience was fine. I was still young enough. But then after that, that was my third big movie. I started experiencing, I think, the downside of Hollywood. The, you know, you start, you're 18 now, 19. I got in really good shape that during those years because I wanted to meet people and, you know, have a girlfriend and things like that. I met some really close friends of mine that we spent a lot of time together. We were the three-headed monster, but we definitely partied a lot, you know? And that's kind of, I think, when you start to go, what am I doing? You know, the two-day hangovers after, you know, crazy weekends and things like that. I didn't get into drugs too much. Nothing pretty intense, never experienced that. But, you know, just that like young party scene. Now I'm auditioning and now I'm getting rejected and like experiencing what Judy Savage warned me about, but I didn't really experience it till
you sort of got it in reverse.
I got it in reverse.
I see.
Which is interesting because I just had this crazy launch and like just took off like a rocket. And then, yeah, in my teens and stuff, it slowed a little bit. So I guess those are the times where you get humbled a little bit. And I always look at people that have an attitude now and I go, no matter who you are, you will be humbled.
It's coming.
It's
bro.
Coming. It doesn't matter. And every single person will be humbled. And you just got to remember that because you just want to treat people right, you know, as much as you can. I mean, yeah, everyone has a bad day. I do too.
But you're just becoming a young man at 18.
Yeah.
And now movies are not going the way they were.
Right.
Did you ever have a backup plan? Was there anything else you ever wanted to be? What were you going through at that time?
No.
Are you living by yourself? Are you still with your mom?
No, I moved out at 20, one.
Okay.
And luckily never had to move back in. I didn't have a backup plan.
Did you go to college? Did you?
No.
No.
And I mean, my stepdad's a contractor. So I had, there was a period
and
in my-
a photographer?
Yeah.
Motherfucker's know, all over right? the place.
Yeah, he is. He's not a professional photographer. He's just really, really good.
He's one of those dudes. It's like, I'm self-taught. And you're like, that's one of the greatest photos I've ever seen in my fucking life.
Yeah. I mean, he has photos from the Sandlot that are better than the set photographer.
I believe it.
Yeah. But he, you know, wait, what were we talking about?
Navigating life after things are slowing down now and you have no backup plan. You didn't go to college. Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't go to college and I was saying I had a little bit of real estate background just because I would help my stepdad.
Oh, he's a contractor.
Yeah. So I never like flipped houses, but there was a period in my late 30s when I had kids, where I started doing some stuff in that world. That's kind of the only other thing I've done. But in my 20s, I mean, things were cheaper then too. I had this house, this 4-bedroom house with 2 roommates, and we each paid $600 a month. And it was in Eagle Rock, which I don't know if like
– I know Eagle Rock. Know and Eagle I know Rock. It back then too.
Now
yeah.
these houses Alpha are Avenue million 30, dollars. Yeah. yeah, like forget about it. I had this mansion and we used to have parties. We were the famous orange house in Highland in Eagle Rock. So I didn't have a backup plan, but that's what's scary. You know, a friend of mine was a professional pitcher in Major League Baseball and – He
Who's
didn't.
That? Are you allowed to say?
Well,
you don't have to.
Well, it's sure. I won't because it's not. I mean, he didn't. It's funny when you look at professional sports players and you realize how high Kobe Bryant was, how high LeBron James is, how high Mike Trout is, because there's this whole world below them of not even all-stars, but people that make a good living. And then below them, you're talking about relieving pitchers. And then below them, you're talking about minor leagues.
And minor leagues.
And like the single A is 10 times better than you and I at baseball. You know what I mean? Like it's crazy. Yes. So he didn't have a backup plan and he was a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. And, you know, because he didn't have a backup plan, I think after that was tough for him, you know? So it's an interesting question. And I didn't really think about it. I graduated high school, but I didn't have anything else. I was lucky enough to, even in my downtime, book things. You know, it's funny too, because a lot of people, you know, I remember I was picketing with SAG the other day and some guy drove by honking, fuck you guys, get a real job. And you're like, okay, well, that's one way to look at it. And yes, Brad Pitt has it really nice. And yes, I have, even myself, I've had a charmed career and I can't complain about it, you know. But when I grew up and you're not working a lot and you book a guest star, that guest star paid you whatever it paid you, $7,000, $10,000 to do it. And then it plays on national TV, you get another $10,000. And then it plays again, you get another $10,000. So you do a guest star and a commercial in a year in Hollywood and you make 50 grand, 40 grand. And you can live, you know? And you can live as an actor. And what it takes to get that is a lot. But that's what everyone's fighting for now, too. We're not fighting for Brad Pitt. Like, he's fine.
Yeah.
You know? We're not even fighting necessarily for a guy like me. We're fighting for these guys that are coming out wanting to be actors and they're waiting tables and they're trying to figure out and they book one guest star and it supports them. Thank God. Cause otherwise they're back home to Idaho and you never get this brilliant artist, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but also SAG, let's give everyone insurance.
Yeah.
100%. Let's give everyone health insurance. Let's not make it. It is the percentage of the Brad Pitts in the world to get the health insurance. I mean, I'm in a union.
Yeah,
I pay my union dues.
Yeah, everyone should have it.
We should all get health
insurance. They took health insurance away during COVID too, which was pretty rough.
That's pretty rough.
That was rough for me.
Yeah.
I lost it then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I lost my smell. I still don't have it back yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Still off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. There's definitely, I mean, isn't there two sides to everything?
Of course.
You know? And then what really sucks is the crew that aren't working because those crew.
That's what you think. You don't even think about how many the grips, the gaffers, wardrobe, the audio, wardrobe.
They have all lost their homes. Right. Lost, and you're like, cool, guys. Like, you know, we can't really make a deal here, huh?
Right.
It's wild.
The Honeydew is sponsored by BetterHelp. Around New Year's, we get obsessed with how to change ourselves instead of just expanding on what we're already doing right. Maybe you finally organize one part of your space and you want to tackle another, or maybe you're taking your supplements every morning and now you want to actually eat breakfast too. Therapy helps you find your strength so you can ditch the extreme resolutions and make changes that really stick. All right. You know how much we believe in therapy here. We talk about mental health all the time. It's not just about repping those muscles. It's about repping that mind, all right? If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. Celebrate the progress you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com/honeydew today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/honeydew. Food can truly be the best medicine, which is why the Farmer's Dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food. It's developed by vets, nutritionally balanced, and it's made from real healthy ingredients to human food safety standards. Traditional dry food and wet dog food options are highly processed. They can use much lower quality ingredients than they claim to and are extremely difficult to portion accurately. The Farmer's Dog isn't just fresh, higher quality food. They also send the food pre-portioned specifically for your dog based on their unique nutritional needs. This makes it easy to help your dog maintain their ideal weight, which is one of the biggest indicators of a full, healthy life. A fresh diet has also been found to have all sorts of benefits, from healthier coat and skin to better breath and even easier digestion. Things I've noticed with Princess Lily Rose since we made the switch. Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at the farmersdog.com/honeydew. Plus, you get free shipping. Just go to farmersdog.com/honeydew to get 50% off. That's thefarmersdog.com/honeydew. Don't reinvent yourself for the new year. Just rehydrate yourself with Liquid IV. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, Liquid IV hydrates 2 times faster than water alone, all in a single sugar-free stick, so you can feel like a hydrated new you, ready to take on 2024. Listen, they say, oh, give me a personal endorsement. I'll give you one. How many years has Liquid IV been with us? That's how much we love them. That's how much you guys obviously love them. They're legit. Everywhere I go, that's the one everyone talks about. You got Liquid IV? You got Liquid IV? You got any? Yep, we keep it here at the studio. We give it to the guests. We take it on tour. We drink it here. For daily use before a workout, when you feel run down after a long night out and on long flights, 1 stick of Liquid IV plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. And with non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy, you can feel good about what you're putting in your body. Rehydrate yourself for the new year. Grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code HONEYDEW at checkout. That is 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code HONEYDEW at liquidiv.com. Now, let's get back to the do. So let's go back to you navigating your 20s. So now that you're out of high school, you're not going to college, things are slowing down. What are you doing for work? You're still booking things in your downtime, but are you panicking? Are you having anxiety? Are you getting, you know, do you get depressed that, hey, things were this way, now they're this way? And if so, what are you doing to navigate all that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I definitely had anxiety about it. I was always smart, so I was a saver. I never really spent my money on anything.
No.
So when I would work, I'd put it away. And then when I wouldn't work, I would spend it to live. There's definitely were times where my bank account got pretty low and you're like, how am I going to pay rent? How am I going to do this? But luckily I don't know, I guess I just figured it out. I booked enough work where I could live. I didn't live on my yacht, but I, you know, was fine.
Well, you seem like you really have your head on your shoulders and you're not a yacht guy.
Aren't we all a little bit of a yacht guy, though?
Listen, man, here's the thing about
yacht. If you invite me to your yacht, I'm coming.
That's like, the thing. I'm a yacht guy. You don't ever, I'm a yacht guest.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't ever want to be the dude who owns the yacht. You want to be the guy that goes and hangs out on a yacht and gets the fuck off.
I'm a private jet guest. I'm a yacht guest. Yeah.
That's all I want to be. I'm a
free ride to Vegas guest, whatever you want.
You got to make that money to own a yacht. And if you're making that money, there are sacrifices you're also making. And mostly those sacrifices end up being your family and ultimately yourself. Fuck that yacht.
Yeah, it's true.
Let's go hang out on somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you've been able to, throughout your whole career, right till now, 44 years old, you've been able to make your living in just entertainment. You've never had to step outside. You say you dabbled in the real estate thing, but you never really had to shift gears like an athlete does.
Right.
Whether that becomes staying in the sport and whether it's announcing or whatever it is, those people, and you know who I really always think about are the Olympians. These are people that give their whole lives to this one activity, sport, whatever it is. I don't mean this. I just mean like you might just be doing the rings,
right?
Your whole life. When that shit's over, greatest gold medalist ring person in the world, what are you doing now?
That's what drives me insane.
You know, what do you do? Because you're young as fuck when you're out of there. You're young. Even these athletes are only in their 30s when they're, you know, washed up.
That's unless you're Michael Phelps and you have advertising, but that's why I don't understand why they don't get paid. Like, someone's making tons of money off the Olympics.
Putting tons of money into their training over all these years. You know, I even played on travel teams. That shit's not cheap.
Yeah.
None of it's cheap, you know?
No, it's true. It's a really good point. I mean, athletes have it rough. I think that's why you hear the sad stories a lot too after.
So let me ask you this. You're a child actor who comes up and successfully is able to navigate all that. Keep your head on your shoulders.
Yeah.
And now you have kids.
Yeah. Now, the only thing I would say is, you know, one of the reasons I think I didn't get so fucked up is I really wasn't a child actor.
Okay.
Because I was 13.
Yeah, you're a teen.
And remember what you were doing at 13. You're not a kid.
I'm not six or seven.
You're not six. You're not.
Good point.
No one's going to molest me. Do you know what I mean? Like, not. Well,
hold on a second.
We've
heard plenty of.
I guess that's true. I shouldn't say that, but you know what I'm like.
But generally you're a 13-year-old, and you can defend yourself.
Guy that's 13, they can kick your shins pretty hard, and obviously there's terrible stories no matter where, but.
Because no matter what age, there are people who are vulnerable and they're,
And I didn't mean
snakes.
That.
That's, I know what you meant.
You know what I meant.
But yes,
physically,
you specifically.
You weren't going to lock me in a room and
get
six,
away with
and
it. Yeah.
I would at least.
Me either. I'm the guy's telling, oh man, I'll kick you in the fucking nuts and then go tell everybody what you did.
Yeah. And you know what you're doing a little more at 13. So I feel like those really messed up stories, like the one you told me in the waiting room at three.
Yeah.
That I luckily avoided that, you know.
We were talking too about like these days, because the internet wasn't even around when we're doing this stuff. You're doing this especially. And, you know, now a kid can go viral at five for opening shit. So
that's terrifying as a parent.
Are you, because I told you out there, I don't want my daughter going anything in comedy, nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, not even managing. Booking, like it's just an insane asylum inside this world here. I will encourage or support, I should say, anything she wants to do reasonably. But man, I hope it's not this.
I know it's tough. I will support anything they want to do as well. You know.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Driving around Hollywood. Driving your kid around in traffic for auditions, though, I don't know. We'll have to talk about that. Like, maybe they get a car and then they can be an actor, you know? But yeah, I don't, it is scary. Being an actor in this world is scary. Being anyone, that has, you know, in front of you, you're vulnerable. You don't want to. When we grew up, I mean, we're almost the same age. I'm a little younger than you, but similar generations. It was different. There were no cameras. There were no, you know, you didn't, everywhere you turn now, someone's filming you.
Everywhere.
And we all say the wrong thing once in a while. You know, we all do stupid shit. Catch me before coffee. I'm not a nice guy. Like, I'm sure, you know, like, but after, and if I'm prepped for it, I'd like to think I can be a good guy. So that's what bothers me the most about this world is how unforgiving it is. That's something that's hard to watch because we are human and by nature we make mistakes. And that's not an excuse for a mistake that is unforgivable either. But that's rough to watch in this day and age. People just have their life taken away from them.
Ripping each other down.
For nothing. Yeah. For something they don't even really mean. Like, you know?
Mm-hmm. So do you talk to your kids about – have you watched The Sandlot with your kids?
My 6-year old watches it a little bit. And he likes it. I think he gets a little confused. Like it's different because I'm in it. So like I watched The Goonies with him and he loved it. Riveted.
That's the one. My daughter loves your movie too, but yeah. Goonies and Sandlot are the two she loves.
Yeah. So loves Goonies, it. There's no confusion. He just loved it. And that was, I see why parents, get excited and come up to me and go, my kid loves it. Because when I showed him Goonies, I had the chills the whole time. Yeah. I was like, this was my favorite movie growing up.
It still holds up.
Oh, for sure.
Your movie and Goonies and E.T.
Yeah.
Those childhood movies still hold up.
Yeah.
They're still great to watch. Even it's funny because I was a kid seeing these things and now I'm with my kid seeing them and watching her react and I'm still getting feelings about it and stuff. Yeah. Like, this one's great. Oh, you ain't see. We do Friday night movie night. We usually try to get pizza or whatever and then we sit there and watch some movies. I let her stay up a little later on the weekends, whatever, especially if it's for Goonies or Sandlot.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah.
And now your dad. So your mom's living in LA doing all that. Dad's in Boston. So how often is he visiting and is he also supporting this and helping you out with it as well?
Yeah. I mean, he supported me and went to private schools and he would come out and visit. He would come on some sets. He would meet me there. And then I would go back home and visit him because
I had a lot of family back
in Boston. Yeah. Like when my grandmothers and grandfathers were alive, I would go see them and had cousins and uncles and
everyone was Boston except for you.
Except for me and my mom. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then your dad still alive?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you ever sit back and talk to him about, holy shit, you're in The Sandlot?
Yeah. I mean, I think.
Do you let yourself enjoy it or are you just like, it's such a part of you now that it's like.
I don't let myself enjoy it. That's an interesting question. I don't think I do. I think it's such a part of my life that. Like I was just in Nashville with two of the guys and we were in a car.
Do you still talk to some of them?
Well, yeah. Once in a while we'll do an appearance or something. So I'll see them when we do those. But I was in the car with them in Nashville and I let myself enjoy it in that car ride. I looked at them and I was like, this is weird, right, guys? And
you're also still alive.
Right. All of us
in a business that takes people all four early sometimes and rips them to shreds. Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of the guys are doing other things now too, but some are still in the industry or, you know, around. But yeah, I think that was a moment where we were like chuckling together and I was like, it's pretty crazy. So once in a while it settles in. When you meet like three generations of people that have all watched it, it kind of hits you and you go, wow, that means a lot to these people. And that's pretty crazy that we did one movie and it's been being watched for 30 years.
Two questions about that. I want to know one of the like most powerful stories you've heard from somebody like coming up to you where that one really stood out. And I also want to know when at 13 it hit you like, holy shit, this is really something.
God, powerful stories. I think when three generations come up to you, that's pretty powerful.
You got a grandfather, dad, and a son all coming up being like, we fucking love this movie.
And the son loves it. And you're like, you're 6. And they say, you're my childhood. And I go, you're still a child.
But like, you're my whole child. Yeah.
That's pretty special. Like,
yeah.
You know, I had one, for some reason it stuck with me so bad, maybe because I'm a father now and I'll even try and get through it is going to be hard. But I met a couple in Salt Lake City. We went back where we filmed it and they rebuild the Sandlot every 5 years. And their kid had passed in a car wreck and they still came. And they had a tattoo of him and that shit.
Yeah, bro.
Anyway, I didn't mean to do that.
It's okay.
Yeah.
That's what we do here, dude. That's really nice. They still came.
Yeah.
So I'll shift this off of that for a second. So you, every 5 years, they rebuild. What do you mean? They actually rebuild the field?
Yeah. They every 5 years they rebuild the sand that they've done it three times now. So for 15 years, they did the 20th, the 25th, and now the 30th.
And you go?
Yeah, a lot of us go. Did I go all three times? Yeah, I went all three times. The second time I got the stomach flu. And that was pretty awful, but
I take your kids with you when you go.
Yeah, no, I never took them. Oh, no. I brought one of them to Utah and I brought him by the Sandlot, but on a different time. Yeah, so I've made it every year except that second one. I went for a little bit, but then was throwing up the rest of the time. It's the backyard of like 10 houses. Five houses and it's all shared and it's in like a,
is it the actual yard where the ball goes over, like those actual yards?
Yeah. So they basically, when they filmed the movie, they just rented, their backyards and they built a sandlot on five. It's like a little middle-class neighborhood, mm-hmm. You know, nothing too special, really cute. And they just built, it's not that hard to build a sandlot. What is a sandlot? A shitty baseball field.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah.
You know, they threw a little dirt and it's there. But then they built these facades of the houses that are in there and a big tree. They like brought in some big tree for the tree house and a whole thing. So that was the sandlot and they kind of remake it. They put the backstop up and then they'll do like a big jumbotron. Blow up thing and watch the movie and we come out and they do a Q&A and we'll sign autographs.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
James Earl Jones, right?
Yeah.
Has he ever come or did he ever come?
No, I didn't even meet him. Originally that in the movie, it was supposed to be.
I'm trying to picture it in my head. You guys are never in the same scene?
Nope.
Or they just cut it that way?
We were written into the scene with him, but then on the day, the director made a lot of, he shifted gears on the day a lot. And he just decided to just put the two leads in the scene with him. So we weren't in the movie with him, never even met him. He, like when he arrived on set too, it was like, oh, the movie star's here, you know, like you just felt it. This is James Earl Jones. Even 13-year-old kids know, oh, you're Darth Vader. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you just did Field of Dreams. Oh, you are a true legend. So you kind of stayed away, you know, like, and he's a big guy too.
Yeah, he looks like a big dude.
You know,
Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Can't be a little bitch.
No, he can't be. He was not a little bitch. And he had a massive trailer. We had all of our trailers, they put us opposite sides.
How many you want for James, Earl, and Jones?
Yeah, exactly. So but they also kept us away from him. I think they're like, we ain't gonna have these little shits like, you know, say something stupid to James Earl.
Yeah.
So, and he was there a day, maybe two. That's kind of how it was with all the adult actors in the movie. They were there very short periods of time. They kind of banged it all out, and none of us were in any of it with them. It was just Tom Gyrie, really, and then Mike Vitar was in with James Earl Jones. Because Dennis Leary was in it.
That's right, yeah.
But Tom had scenes with him and Karen Allen.
His ball, isn't it his ball?
Is it?
Was it Dennis Leary's ball you all fucked up?
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. I thought you were saying in real life. Yeah.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
no.
His ball, yeah.
So you say you don't let yourself enjoy it. Why do you think that is? I don't want to let you off the hook here, but I use this example all the time.
Yeah.
There's so many people live their lives and it's been part of their life that it's just something they mention and move on. Like the example I always use is Joey Diaz. I don't know if you know who Joey Diaz is, a comedian, but he goes, After I got out of prison for kidnapping that guy, I went to Colorado. I'm like, hold on.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't give a fuck about Colorado right now. I want to hear about after I got out of prison for kidnapping that guy. Like, and he says it like it's just because it is. It's just this part of my life.
Yeah.
So why do you think you don't let yourself enjoy like what this really is for you?
I think I'm trying to think why. I don't know that I have.
What hit you in the car? What hit you in that car just recently when you were sitting there looking and being like, what was it that you allowed yourself to just take a moment and live it?
That still we're being asked 30 years later to travel around. And out of all the guys, I still look very similar, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's constant with me. Like we'll be together in a restaurant and I'll get recognized. And then I'll say, and once in a while they'll go, will you take a photo? I kind of love it because I go, I think you want them on this side too. And they're like, why? And then I'm like, because that's Danunez, that's Squints. And then they freak out, which is kind of fun to me because then they're like, oh my God. But I think, I guess what hit me is that that we still have this effect on people and that, you know, it means that much and we still get asked to come around for one movie, you know? I think why I don't let myself enjoy it is because I'm not done and I don't want to be done.
Great answer.
You know? Yeah, I guess that's the truth of it is I love it. It doesn't embarrass me. I don't mind leaning into it. I don't like to lean into it too much, but you know, I think I'm not done.
So being a dad, let's talk about being a dad now. You got how old? Six and three. Yeah, 6 and 3, both boys, you said. Biggest fears as a father.
I mean, obviously you don't, you know, you want to take care of them and you want them to live long and healthy lives and you don't want them to get into trouble. I think that's probably the biggest fear is like raising them well enough so that they don't do one stupid thing once that changes their life forever. You know?
Are your parents both involved, good grandparents?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They
love it? Yeah.
And so that's nice because they get along and they can actually be in the same room with your kids and not being like, fuck that one over there.
And their significant others are actually almost even more involved. Like I said at the top, they're younger. So they got my stepmom and stepdad are great with them too and they love them.
How old were your parents? You said it was very around the same time. How old were they when they got remarried? Like how old are you when step parents come into your life?
13.
13, right there on the spot. 12, so two years after they divorced pretty much, but they've probably been already
over it. A week after that? You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure I didn't meet them when I could have, you know? Hey, honey, let me introduce you to someone I just met. Yeah, bullshit.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but at least they both did it. So they were on, you know.
And were you receptive to that right away?
No.
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 Tell me about that.
I did not.
So you were okay with your parents being separated and divorced. I mean, I don't mean okay.
I accepted it.
But you accepted that.
Yeah.
Now these new people coming in, you're like, nah, fuck that.
Yeah.
On both ends.
Yeah. I did not get along with either of them at all in the beginning.
Why?
Because I intentionally didn't.
It was you. You're admitting it.
100%. I was an asshole to them. Yeah. I mean, shit, I'm an asshole to my parents. Like, imagine to two people I don't even love yet, you know?
Who was the first to bring someone in? Do you get a stepdad or mom first?
Well, my stepdad, because when I moved to LA, he was in the picture a month later.
You know what I mean? So do you, looking back, or have you even ever asked your mom, was he already in the picture? Was Los Angeles a destination regardless of?
Los Angeles was a destination regardless, okay. Yeah.
But very quickly.
I don't need to ask them. I know the truth. Yeah, yeah. You know, like that's the thing. When you get a divorce, you were divorced 2 years ago. You know what I mean? Agreed. So like they were faithful people, and I know that they didn't do anything that the other would have had a problem with. But yeah, they were already divorced, so they both – pretty soon after we're together with someone, but you know, Yeah, my stepdad was more in my life than my stepmom at the time because I lived in LA, and then we moved into a house in Glendale, and you know, they've been at that house ever since, and he's been in my life ever since. So
when he went on set to shoot, you weren't getting along, or were you just...
No, that's interesting, because we were. I mean, no, we had a hard time on there too, but you know, like we had a hard time, but I would say we had a hard time like a parent and kid have a hard time too. Like, I still respected them. Mm-hmm. It's not like I ran away from them or disrespected them to the level that they couldn't help raise me, you know? But I had a year with him too. Like, 12 was when he was in the picture. A year later, I booked a movie, you know? And that probably helped our relationship, you know? Yeah. With my stepdad,
I think about what ends up happening in hindsight. This right. motherfucker's coming to photograph one of the most iconic movies ever. I mean, and he hit the jackpot.
But also, he owns the rights to images of me then that nobody else does that I can use for Hambino Athletics. Like, you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't use 20th Century Fox images.
That's right, or Getty images or anything. No,
I mean, he owns them. So you're like, thanks, dog.
You know? Like, oh, yeah.
So I think that helped us. My late teens or mid-teens, we had a hard time together, you know?
Can I ask you, did he have kids?
No.
So do you think also, because I didn't either
when
I first.
Neither did my stepmom.
That's what I wanted neither to ask. Of them, so they're not parents.
No.
They're just a spouse to yes. mom and dad and attempting to be.
Which is part of the problem. Because my friend is dating a girl who neither of them have kids. And, you know, when I said I want to do this fatherhood podcast, I want to have him on because he's a pretty successful actor. And I don't think he wants kids, but I think that's fascinating too, you know, mm-hmm. like, and it's okay. You know, you're like, tell me why. And if you don't want kids, don't have kids. Like Agreed. That is the one piece Agreed. Of advice I will give people. You're about to get into a whole world of shit and it's the most beautiful thing you've ever been involved in if you want it. But boy, it takes over your life.
Yeah. If you don't, you're going to fucking hate it.
You're going to fucking hate it. And his girlfriend now, although I don't know if I can call it, he would kill me for calling her. I don't think they're there yet.
Got it.
But they will be. So we'll call her his girlfriend.
Sure.
She just like her ex had kids and she was like, I don't think I want kids after that experience. So, and probably the kids were probably great, but my step parents, they were not parents. They didn't. And what I did wasn't cute or endearing like it would be to my parents. Like,
right.
You're just an asshole, you know?
Did they try to parent though?
Yeah.
You?
Yeah. And I probably pushed back on that. My stepdad more. My stepmom wasn't in my life as much. She has come into my life more. Now that I've had kids, she is fantastic with my kids and they love her.
Good.
And my dad's older. He's 74. So he doesn't get, you know, he's doing good. He's a very healthy guy, but he doesn't get around as much. Mm-hmm. So she's like bending down there and building shit with them. And, you know, they love it.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
I think that's a good thing you spotted on that is, yeah, they weren't parents. And I think that made it more difficult for
them. I agree. Yeah. You're right. It's also not your kid. It's not like, oh, it's great. He's coloring. Awesome.
Yeah. No matter what, I'm not their kid.
Right.
Even though, you know, it's Father's Day and things like that are always a little interesting. Mother's Day, you know, I have a dad, I have a mom, but these guys have been in my life. They should almost have like Step-Parents Day, you know, where you celebrate
them. They've been
in
your life for what?
30 years.
Yeah. God damn, that's a long time.
I know.
Also good for your parents too for realizing, hey, we came together, we had this union, we had this beautiful child.
Yeah.
That's what this relationship's about. Let's shut it down and move on and be happy. And they both did.
Yeah.
It's not like they each one of them rotated partners, like they found that person, locked it in, and they've been together.
Yeah.
That's fucking great.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
And it doesn't hit you till a little later that, all right, we can, like, when do you back off? When do you finally
of
say
them?
Yeah.
When I do don't know that I still have. I'm not going to lie. I mean, don't know that I still have. Like, I'm a dick to them. Parent and kid relationships are so weird. You get so annoyed by them, and then you immediately feel bad, and then you call them and go, I love you. You're the best thing. Please don't hate. Like, I'm sorry I was a jerk. Like, that's our relationship. I don't know what to say. I'm closer to them than anyone in this world. So, and that goes for my step-parents too.
Like, yeah.
My stepdad after my parents is another parent. My stepmom, now that she's also helped so much with my kids and her grandkids, similar. I have such an appreciation for her now.
But is it wild to you that these same people you resented or pushed back on now are loving on your kids?
Oh, like, yeah.
In the way it wild, the way the life works.
It's wild. And it's also wild to now experience my kids with me, because it makes you realize, like, you punk, you don't know what I'm doing for you constantly. And then you go, oh, wait, but I already forgot that my parents did that for me. It's weird, right? Like, you don't realize how much a parent gives up for you. And yeah. I mean,
it's literally everything.
For 3 years, the other day, I wiped both of my kids' asses in the span of 10 minutes, like, not even 10, 2 minutes. I'm like, wiping shit and washing my, like,
between dogs, kids, like, the amount of shit I've handled over my life.
Yeah,
it's a lot of shit.
Yeah, and you're dressing them, feeding them, you know,
getting them ready for this.
Yeah,
we're getting ready to go to La Jolla, and I got to get the dog ready, my daughter ready, me ready. Yeah,
so a lot. Those early years too, and you're out of it, but now you're into a whole nother one.
I know, teen,
9 year old woman.
I know.
Good luck.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Like, woman. That's what I feel like I live with.
You do.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I hear. Boys young are wild, and girls older are more, you got to use your mind a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm trying to be like more open with her and different, because I don't want just that boy mindset the whole time.
Totally.
You know, sometimes I think it's good. Sometimes, like, just get up and walk it off. You're fine.
Yeah.
Dad, you're fine.
Yeah.
That shit's fine. But like, my daughter doesn't know how to ride a, she'll kill me for saying this. She doesn't know how to ride a 2-wheel bike yet.
Yeah.
She's 9.
Wow.
And I'm like, you've been fucking off, basically. You've had bikes. I've had them here with the training wheels, took you out. You didn't want to do it. She does, in her defense, she likes to scoot. That's her thing. She'd rather scoot.
That's great. My kids scoot.
But yeah. I'm like, okay, but you need to learn how to ride a bike. A bike is for transport. It's more than recreation. You got to learn how to ride a bike. You got to learn how to swim. She's a great swimmer.
That's good. That's more important than swimming.
Yeah, I agree. That's a lifesaver. But you need
close
to fucking ride.
A bike.
Like,
a
bike is freedom, especially when you can go anywhere as a kid. If I'm like, you can ride down the street and go to your friend's house. But I took her out last night and I'm like, just like soccer practice, we're going to go out and ride this bike. It's not going to be, let's go out and fart around with it. You need to fucking ride the bike. First night, and she's too big now to put training wheels on a bike. So I got her a nice bike for her birthday, and she's got to walk and balance it. She gets frustrated. I don't want to do this again. So we're doing it. We went out last night. I'm holding the back of the seat. I fucking let go. I don't tell her. She's riding, and I go, look, and she looks over at me, and then she's like, oh my God. And she got like 4 or 5 different times. She got like 4 or 5 really good cranks.
Great.
And then, you know, you see she scored her first goal. Man, dude, I was so fucking stoked. She scored her first goal.
Yeah.
Her friend was there, and she goes, I don't want my friend to come, because what if we lose? Like, what if I play in the goal and I let a goal in? I'm like, what if you score your first goal? And then she fucking goes and scores her first goal. And, dude, I was stoked. I'm running up and down yelling and shit.
That's
like,
awesome.
It's the best.
Yeah, it is.
It's the fucking best. And I didn't have the best upbringing, but I did have the best dad, who did everything he could to be there all the time. And then that's the other thing. When you look back on things, you're like, how the fuck did you work that job, make these practices, make these games?
I don't know, man. Yeah. Like,
because you loved me. You cared.
Yeah.
And then he dies. And then I'm like, yeah, you literally – you gave, that's what I'm saying. If you don't want to be a parent, that could happen.
Yeah.
You're willing to give your life for this person.
Yeah.
Or these people.
Yeah.
And good for you, dude. Thank you. Thank you for coming on here and opening up and talking about all this. This is great.
I didn't
get to know, I'm glad I got to know you better. I didn't know all this.
Yeah.
All right. Now that everything we've talked about, and this is interesting because for your age at 13, you become an actor. Advice you would give to 16-year-old Patrick Renna.
Oh, God. Be nice to Jonah Hill when you meet him. I met,
were you not?
I wasn't. I met Jonah Hill before he was famous. And he came up to me and said, I fucking love you, man. I wasn't mean, but I was just at a party and I was like, cool, dude. Okay. And then sure enough, a couple years later, he's Jonah Hill.
Fucking hilarious.
I need to see him again because, you know, now I'll be like, I fucking love you, man. God, I don't know. I think there's a few things I would say do differently, you know, like maybe run on a few concepts. And I think I did all right, but I guess I probably would say don't take so long to fuck around, you know, because it's nice for a little bit. But I think what I probably messed around from like 18 to 22, 23, probably 18 to 24. A good 6 years was just wasting my life, you know, and doing other things. But I think I could have said maybe go 18 to 22.
Reel it in a little
bit. 18 to 21, you know.
Yeah. Like that you're still saying enjoy it. Just pump the brakes.
Absolutely.
A little.
Because if you don't enjoy it, then you get that serial killer who explodes at one moment and does something you can't take back. So you do have to get it out of your system a little bit too. Everyone does, I think.
Awesome, man. Well, yeah. Thank you very much for doing this. Again, please plug, promote everything you'd like.
Yeah. This Fatherhood podcast coming soon. It'll be on my socials at Patrick Renna. And this new YouTube channel I'm doing. I got a couple movies coming out probably next year. One's called You Gotta Believe. Greg Kinnear's in it. That was fun. Luke Wilson, who I did X-Files with years ago, was in it.
Great.
They're really cool dudes. And then I did a movie called Boys of Summer with Mason Thames and Mel Gibson's in it. So that's cool. And both of those should be coming out next year.
All right, man. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week. Welcome to the first episode of The Way Back. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. I'm here with my guest on the first episode, ladies and gentlemen, Tom Segura. Welcome to The Way Back, Tom Segura.
Way, way back, man.
Way, way back.
Thanks for having me.
This is the back seat in the station wagon, facing out the back.
No seatbelts.
Dash on the front, cigarette smoke probably in the air, no seatbelts at all.
You just see the grill of a car just come up to here, and you're like...
Sit in that seat? Were you old enough to have that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever shoot the finger real quick?
Did you shoot the finger if you're...
What are you kids doing back there? Yeah. That stuff,
Pulling away. It right now as we pull away. Buses?
School buses.
They would flick you off if they saw kids. They'd be like, fuck you. Kid. Yeah.
I want to talk to you about just like, this is all about nostalgia, growing up and stuff. And your boys, who I've hung out with, and my daughter did too, we went fishing together. My daughter caught her first fish with your kids. We caught 18 fish and a turtle out there using hot dog, which I had never fished with in my life. Stan and I took hot dog up here to Kenneth Hahn. You know what we caught?
What?
Two turtles. Turtles must love hot dogs. I was all fired up. I'm like, I got a good one. I realized it's a turtle, man. But your kids are wild. I've seen stuff on your guys' social media of like keys in the toilet, crayon all over the wall. Like I have a daughter. I remember even before kids.
Yeah.
I would sit in a restaurant and be like, look at these fucking boys are climbing over the shit and girls are just sitting there coloring and they're just, you know, genetically better than we are.
They're monkeys.
Completely, boys are monkeys.
Yeah.
What's the wildest stuff you guys used to do growing up? What'd you used to do?
I mean, I think, you know, everything was riding bikes, you know?
Yeah.
So like as soon as like you got home, ride bikes. We lived in this neighborhood in the suburbs of Cincinnati and we would just ride our bikes. And the craziest thing that I remember doing at that age, I'm talking like 7, 8, 9 is when I lived there. You know, I lived there from when I was born and I left when I was 9. But in that age range, one time I went to these, you know, there was always like a field.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Just like back through some woods. And one of the kids had an M80. And he just was like, oh, this is supposed to be like pretty big firework. I didn't really have a concept of what it was.
What a quarter stick of dynamite. Yeah.
Yeah. And when that thing blew off, I just from the impact, I was like, oh, we're in trouble. Like I couldn't believe that we didn't get in trouble. I mean, it left a fucking crater. You know,
we used to put those in people's mailboxes and blow them apart.
Oh yeah,
it would blow the sides open and the back off of it.
One time, I got a fire going on this stretch of Lake Michigan when we were in Wisconsin, and I just got cans of spray paint and threw them into the fire. Just as like a,
are you serious?
And it was like bombs going.
Yeah, off.
And,
bombs.
And mists go flying different colors.
Spraying
in the air.
It. Yeah, dude.
But that's just like, you don't think.
Used to do Roman candle fights, shoot them at each other. We used to take G.I. Joes or Star Wars figures, and we would like tape like 12 bottle rockets to them and then light them off and see how far up it could go. And then once it blew up, the pieces would all come down. Yeah. We would shoot fireworks off in the house. Like, we were terrible kids.
Now, my kids also, like, when I found Ellis painting the walls with his hands. Lost my mind.
Did you ever do anything like that? I didn't do anything like that as a
kid. I thought I was helping. I put water in my dad's lawnmower where you put
all the gas.
Yeah.
Oh, fucked it all up.
And he was real nice about it. He was like, did you put something in here? And I was like, mm-mm. He was like, if I promise you're not in trouble, will you tell me? And I go, I put water in there for you.
For you.
Filled it up. Yeah. He was like, okay. but I was like flipping out at Ellis. The fucking paint all over the. What are you doing? Just going crazy.
He was do they do?
He goes, I don't like when you yell at me. When you raise your voice, I'm just a kid.
He says that.
Yeah. And he goes, if you just talk to me in a normal voice, I'm like, dude. And I just start laughing because he's being like, he's right. And he's being like rational. I'm like, why are you painting the walls? He goes, sometimes my brain, man.
My brain, yeah, man. Yeah, yeah.
Tells me to do stuff. I was like, okay.
I love it, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,